pedal. Here are my loads. Oh, engrossing. Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't summons. Coming. The door for you. Good afternoon. Welcome to Ku-ring-gai Local Planning Panel. On behalf of the panel, I recognise the traditional custodians of the land, the Gurigal people, Ku-ring-gai, my apologies, people on whose land we meet today. Thank you for attending. We have a full panel today, so no apologies from the panel. Any apologies from staff? None? Thank you. My name is Jacqueline Townsend. I'm the chair today of the panel. And we have the expert panel members, Sandra Robinson and James Coleman, and our community member, Suzanne Jolly. Are there any declarations to be made by any panel? None? Staff, do we have any declarations to be made on any item? None received. Thank you. I note we have two items on the agenda today, and we have speakers to both of them. The first, what have I done with my agenda? The first item of general business is 38 Warrigal Road, Tarramurra. It's a home occupation for the restoration and refurbishment of firearms. We have one speaker today, which is the applicant, Mr. Sharp. Would you like to come up? Anywhere? Oh, the middle one's got the microphone on. So if you can sit in the middle chair, Mr. Sharp. I invite you to address if you'd like to. You don't need to, but if you'd like to address, you can. And then I'll ask you to remain, and there might be some questions of the panel to be asked of you.
Yes, I would like to address. Thank you.
Thank you. When you're ready.
Do you want my name?
Yes.
Warwick Graham Sharp. My address is 38 Warrigal Road, Tarramurra. I don't know that there's a lot that I can add to what I've already supplied to council. I can only say I've been endeavouring to seek disapproval now for about 14 months. I thought initially I might have been exempt development, and I did engage a consultant as a result of a council recommendation to determine whether or not I was exempt development. He determined, in his view, that I was. I supplied that to council, but ultimately council's view was that they couldn't give me consent to continue my home activity without me lodging a development application, so I did that, and hopefully I've complied with all the requirements of council since that date. I did write to the manager on the 28th of April when I enclosed the requested check for advertising, and I did request some clarifications of some items and his advice as to which way I should, or what additional information I should provide. I didn't get any response to that, so I wasn't aware of what the protocols were today and what was required of me. I did receive a letter saying that I was entitled to speak, and not knowing what adjudication had taken place or what recommendations there were, I did take the opportunity of coming here today to speak. That's what I'm doing. I can only ask that you consider my application favourably because it's grown out of a hobby of over 40 years. That hobby is the restoration and restoring of old historical and commemoratively important firearms and their accessories, and that requires me to hold a police commissioner's firearm dealer's licence. And the commissioner of police, as a result of changes to legislation in February or March of 2018, requires that I get consent from council to continue with that activity as I have done for the last 40 odd years. The police have inspected the premises. They have absolutely no problem with the security arrangements. In fact, I got 100% when they did the inspection in June of last year, and I have no difficulties with my local area command. I have a good relationship with them. So I don't think I can add any more. Council members, panel members were there this morning and we discussed some items of what I do. I do believe that what I do is historically important. I believe it has a definite community value because of the nature of the restoration work that I do. I did say this morning I supplied many collecting organisations, museums and associations with commemorative firearms that they use for their commemorative purposes. So I'd ask the panel to consider my application favourably. And is there anything else I can add or anything you'd like to know? I'm more than happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Any questions from the panel members?
None from me.
Yes, I've got one question, Madam Chair.
Mr. Coleman.
It was quite a privilege to see your premises this morning, and we all noticed that they're quite, it's a very compact little installation you've got there. This is just a hypothetical question. You're a very dedicated collector and a very skilled technician, I suppose, in the field. In the event that your interest expanded and other people became very interested in what you're doing, would the option of expanding your little cell ever occur? I mean, just to get more space in that dwelling?
No, I don't believe so. I've done this for 40 odd years. It's been a personal endeavour. It's been a personal achievement that I've looked toward. It's something I get great personal satisfaction out of, and I think my knowledge and the expertise that I have are mine alone, and no, I have no intention of expanding the business in any way, shape or form.
No, I wouldn't say an intention, but just the fact that you become a very well-known person in this field, and there might be some expectation that you increase your floor area, for example, for whatever reason.
That hasn't occurred over the past time. What I have seems adequate at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, the only problem I have, I'm 75 years of age, and what I do, for the future. So, I have spoken to several people about that with a view to preserving what I've got and what I have done. I don't want any of my firearms or commemorative stuff sold on the open market. I would rather it go to collecting organisations, and I've already made some inquiries as to some organisations that would be very happy to take it. Well, they'd be more than happy to take it.
Yes, yes.
And if I found the right places, of course, I'd be very happy to donate it. Some of the stuff is valuable, and from a family's point of view, I would ultimately be looking to sell that, but it will not be sold overseas. It'll be sold locally to commemorative organisations or other collectors.
Thank you.
Mrs. Sharp, I've just got one question. As Mr. Coleman and yourself both mentioned, the panel went out and visited had a site inspection today of where you're conducting your hobby. It has been referred to as a submission by residents that it's potentially a gun factory, but having visited there this morning, there's certainly no signs of manufacturing or selling of firearms at your properties. Can you confirm that?
Yes, I confirm that. I did it with you this morning. I do it now. I've done it in writing. I have no retail outlet. I do not deal with the general public. The the people I deal with are people that I know through the collecting organisations or shooting organisations I belong to. I think at last count I belong to at least 10, and they are either those people or they come from recommendations from those people who recommend people to me. So no, there's no sale from the premises at all.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. No further Nothing. Questions? Thank you. You can go return now to your seat. Thank you very much. You. Panel on that item, number 138 Warrable Road, Tarramurra. Do we have any objection to that recommendation? To council's recommendation is that the consent authority being satisfied, the proposed development will be in the public interest, grants development consent to DA 0139/19 for a home occupation for the proposed purpose of restoration and refurbishment of firearms at 38 Warrigal Road, Tarramurra, subject to conditions pursuant to section 4.532 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979. This consent lapses if the approved use is not commenced within 2 years of the date of the notice of determination. Do we have any objection to that?
No.
Recommendation panel?
No.
None. Unanimously, we grant consent to that application. Now moving on to number two, which is a DA for 34 to 36, I still can't say, Demarick Street, Gordon. Demolition of existing structures and construction of 9 townhouses, multi-dwelling housing with basement parking, landscaping and associated works. It's for the demolition of existing structures and construction of 9 townhouses with basement parking, landscaping and associated works. I note, panel, we're here to determine the matter which was stood over and deferred for decision from the last panel meeting, and that was to address the site isolation issue arising from Demarick Street, Gordon. We do have one speaker here today. I believe Mr. Adey, is he here? Would you like to come up, please? Thank you, Mr. Adey. I note on the last occasion you weren't available.
I wasn't.
Thank you for attending today. Would you like to address for 3 minutes, noting that this is solely on the site isolation, and if you wouldn't mind, you've got 3 minutes and then remaining, and we'll ask some questions, I'm sure, from the panel.
Sure, no problem. Thank you, Chair and panel members. We did distribute some additional correspondence. I don't know if you've
that,
had
yes.
the opportunity to read that, so I won't repeat that. Our main concern with the process here is that the original application came before the panel, I think, in June with a recommendation from staff for approval, and the panel members deferred it in order for this isolation issue to be readdressed. It obviously was addressed in the previous application, and a fair point that I think, you know, that the original valuations were, that's 2 years old or whatever. So that was a understandably a reasonable reason for deferral. The offers have been made again. The valuer has revalued the property and provided a comprehensive valuation report. What our concern is then, without any correspondence back to us, without any communication with us, council staff then assess that valuation report. And my concern is, I'm a town planner. I'm not a valuation expert. So for council staff to then criticise the methodology involved in the valuation, I feel is quite a dangerous precedent, because what I feel should have been done is if there was a problem or a concern about the valuation, ask for another valuation, get another independent valuation, which we obviously would have had to pay for. And that is normal procedure, perhaps for council to pick their own valuer or whatever, or to ask our valuer to provide additional information. But I think for council staff to take on a valuer's role and question the methodology used to come up with the figures is dangerous and really wouldn't hold up. The other concern that staff had was that we hadn't addressed a a more recent court case, the Mackenzie Kooringai case, which basically, in a nutshell, determined that for valuation purposes, the amalgamated site must be considered and what can be developed on that portion of the land for an amalgamated site. Now, that wasn't explicitly stated in our correspondence. We've since gone back and provided you with that information and confirming, and this was all before the court, the staff would have known of this, that we've confirmed that the amalgamated site, whether 38 Jumeirah Street is amalgamated with our site or not, the maximum yield for that site as a development site is 3 townhouses. An FSR, of maximum FSR that you could get on that site of about 0.74:1. About 720 square metres of townhouses. Those figures, there was a detailed assessment done during the LEC hearing where we provided 3 sketches, where the architects were asked to provide three sketches. Two options for an amalgamated site and one option for a standalone site. And the yield was the same. I've got the original joint report by an urban design expert that was cross-examined in the court hearing to come up with exactly why you could get this maximum yield on this site. The architect is on his way, and would I think it's all gone a bit quicker than we expected, and he would be able to answer the questions. He drew up those sketch plans and can certainly provide more information on how that yield has come up with. Now, the valuer has had regard to those in assessing, in providing his valuation. And again, we've gone into detail in the letter, in the late correspondence here, as to why our site is very different to the site across the road and very different to the Mackenzie site. The Mackenzie site actually gained a larger floor space ratio by amalgamating the sites. That's not the case here. So we've, I think, demonstrated conclusively, again, that 38 Jumeirah Street, its highest and best value is as a standalone dwelling house. And that's valued in current terms by our valuer as 2.4 million. The best yield a developer could get on that site would value the for townhouses, would value the site at 1.8 million. And therefore, an offer of 2 million was made as a development site. No response was received from the adjoining neighbour. The adjoining neighbour has, I understand, stated on a number of occasions that they don't want to develop the site for townhouses. They want to keep it as a standalone dwelling. And that has been proven now twice. That is, in the current climate, the most valuable use of the site. And if that changes, the site can be developed on its own for 3 townhouses. So I hope that we now have provided the panel with enough information to make a favourable determination. If you're still not happy with the valuation methodology, by all means, I would be suggesting to you, as a matter of view, is to seek another valuation, to seek a peer review of our valuation, but not ask planners to review the valuation report. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the panel members? Yeah.
I've got 2 questions, Thank you. Hayden. I'm on. The first one is, you mentioned the 2 bases for the evaluation, the highest and best use being the dwelling house at 2.4. And I'm asking this, you're representing the applicant. I'm not asking you to comment on this as a valuer, because you're not a valuer.
Yep.
Why was the offer not 2.4 plus reasonable expenses?
Because the owner of 36 and 38, the owner of our site, does not want to build a dwelling house on that site.
No, but nor does the owner of number 38 want to sell for less than the highest and best use. I mean, nobody's going to sell their property for the second bidder. They'll sell it to the highest bidder for the higher value.
I understand, but that. It's not my reading of the Mackenzie case or any case law on site isolation. The offer made is to be is for a developable site. The offer is, and it's unusual in this case that actually the the developed value is less than the value of it, the site being kept as it is.
I think I read Mackenzie a little bit differently, because O'Neill talks about the value plus reasonable expenses.
Well, and that's what we've done based on a developable site. So that's why an offer of 2 million was made. So the site's valued at 1.8 million for three townhouses, and the offer was made of 2 million.
Okay.
So there's your reasonable expenses.
If
there's a different interpretation of Mackenzie by the panel, you know, I would say give my client and the developer another opportunity to make another offer. But I don't believe that that's the way it's worded. Otherwise, it doesn't make it viable. And the case law on site isolation is about the viability of the isolated site to be developed, whether as part of an amalgamated site or in its own right. Clearly, in this case, at this time, it's not viable to develop it as part of an amalgamated site.
The second question was in relation to the part. You had two options that were presented to the owner of number 38, one being sell us the property, the other being we'll sell you an easement.
Mm.
I just wanted to understand what cost there was to the applicant to grant the easement. What is there? What there was a figure of $270,000. What does it actually cost the applicant to grant that easement?
What it does is it provides the adjoining site with a better yield.
I understand the benefit to number 38. I'm just trying to understand, because the applicant is enjoying the full FSR potential. There's no change to setbacks. There's no loss of landscaped area. There's no change to the built form. It's simply a shared use of a driveway with a punch through. I'm just trying to understand what the cost is to your client to give that easement. What are they? Why charge them $270,000 when there's no reduction in development potential in any way?
That could be an administrative cost. There would be an administrative cost of having an easement. That wasn't a terms of reference to be revisited, but it's something we could certainly revisit if that's what the panel, if the panel's minded to look that way. I'm certain that my client would revisit that figure, and I would have to get instructions on where that figure came from, and I haven't got the answer for you today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got one question.
Mr. Palmer.
Yes, just one question. I think you prefer the view that there was a potential yield for 38 of three townhouses. How did you reach that conclusion?
That was the expert witnesses at the Land and Environment Court appeal were asked to go away and prepare options for developing an amalgamated site. I have the sketches. Unfortunately, I didn't print them, but I've got them on my computer and I can show you. It was in the supplementary joint report, a detailed analysis of setback controls, landscaping, what you could get on the site, based on the constraints of the site, the topography, the narrowness of the site, and driveway access. So one option was keeping the driveway where it is on our site and with the easement, and then getting three townhouses in a line, forward, middle and rear. And the other option was getting a driveway from the new road to the east, coming down the centre of the amalgamated site, and then having driveways off it. And again, that would get three townhouses on this site. We've got a FSR 0.8 on this site, and the maximum we could get it, whether we amalgamated it or not, it's the same with our site, we can't achieve the maximum FSR. So the maximum FSR we could achieve was 0.74:1 on the site of 38, given the constraints of that site, mainly the dip in the middle of the site.
So you're saying that you'd get compliance with the statutory controls,
yeah,
and still get a yield of three,
yeah,
units?
Absolutely. It's obviously, in any exercise like this, it has to be full compliance with the controls, FSR, height, setbacks, landscaping, etc.
Thank you.
Ms. Jolly?
Just what consultation has happened with the owner of 38 since this application was submitted, other than a letter being sent to them? Has there been any consultation, verbal or...
I can't answer that question because I don't know what consultation my client may have had. There's certainly been a formal offer has been made, and that we have received their objections. So we're clear on their views on our development, and their... I'm under the impression that conversations may have taken place and that they're not wanting to sell.
But you don't know that?
I don't know that. I haven't been involved in those conversations.
And that's, as a panel member who sat on the last, as chair of the sat on the last panel, this whole deferral was based on the discussions and having meaningful discussions with owner of number 38. That was the whole purpose of deferral, because this is a new application, and whilst we accept there was acceptance by Commissioner Brown in the first instance over meaningful discussions with number 38, that wasn't done on this application. So we deferred so the applicant could go away and have meaningful discussions, or what we would be able to be satisfied of, that meaningful discussions. And I'm not convinced, I'm not convinced that meaningful discussions have taken place. I think a letter being sent might be a start of a conversation or a dialogue, but we've got nothing before us that demonstrates that they've received it, that it's been followed up by a phone call, that there's been other discussions regarding, well, what if that offer isn't acceptable, what can we discuss in negotiations? And it's disappointing from where I'm sitting. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the whole purpose of this application today. And that was one question that surely you would have anticipated to be asked of you today, and you haven't got an answer for it.
I do have an answer from it. There's been no response from the adjoining owner, and that's consistent with what's happened in the past. They have.
And
not
do we
responded.
Know if they received the letter?
I believe that the letter would have been sent like a recorded delivery. I mean, we can provide...
But you don't know that. You're just guessing.
I don't know that because I didn't... This is not a planning matter. This was a matter handled by Pike's lawyers.
Which is what the subject of today is. The decision today is about whether there's been a meaningful discussion between your clients and the owners of number 38.
Well, there's been no meaningful discussion because the owners of number 38 have not responded, and that's consistent with what's happened in the past, that they haven't responded, that they don't want to sell. So I don't know what more meaningful discussion we could have, because they're not interested in selling their property or developing it.
Any other questions? None? No. None. Thank you for coming. We will now adjourn and move into the... So I'll close the meeting now. Thank everyone for coming along to address and for your time. And now the panel will move into the ante room and deliberate.
Just one question, Madam Chair, if you wouldn't mind. Did you say your architect is about to arrive?
He is?
I mean, if with respect, Madam Chair, if the architect for this proposal is about to arrive, would it be proper to
would you like to make a call, and we'll wait until you come back?
Thank you
for no, it's fine. I forgot that he was doing that. It's fine, not a problem.
We won't talk about being stuck on the bridge.
Well, I know exactly it could be.
Three. says he can get through.
Yeah.
And so it so bit of an argument there. He says he checked the FSR.
Thank you for indulging.
Mm-hmm.
The architect is 15 minutes away. I've spoken to the lawyer. The letter was sent by some form of registered post, so he can provide an evidence that it was delivered. There was no phone calls on this occasion. However, he reminds me that there was a long history of meaningful involvement in the Land and Environment Court
in the
hearing,
first
where they were actually, they weren't joined in the hearing, but they were part of the hearing.
Yep.
They had valuation and planning, town planning representation, and there was a lot of discussions going on where it was very, where they made it abundantly clear that they would not sell for the development site price of the site. And my client is clear that paying for the site as a standalone house is, well, he would just keep it as a standalone house. He would still argue that it can't meaningfully be developed for townhouses, and that means the whole development wouldn't go ahead because it wouldn't be viable.
Thank you for making that call. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you.
Well, the panel will now adjourn and close the meeting. Thank you.